Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And this week, we're talking about balls and lines and ins and outs and scoring points because we're talking about sports. And we have two fantastic guests. Our first guest is a returning guest, and we haven't seen this guy in, I don't know, nigh on 100 episodes. It's been a long time, almost 2 years probably. But he's a co-host of the Hard Pick Mining Company, which is on the Vague Idea Podcast Network, all about the Denver Nuggets. He is also a graphic designer, a stand-up human being, a co-working space operator, businessman, entrepreneur.
Like a low-level Renaissance man.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think high level.
No, like, I don't know. What's before the Renaissance? Like a Baroque man?
A Baroque man? I mean, we're all Baroque
actually,
right now.
We're all Baroque right now.
Where's my fucking money, Joe?
Thanks, Nate.
It's no, Rex Roberts. Welcome back, Rex.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm excited to talk about basketball. I'm gonna give me the ball because I'm going to dunk it.
Yeah.
Nice. That's the best vocal performance since the Dunkachino in whatever movie that was in. Jack and Jill? Is that the movie that's in?
I don't know.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Our second guest is a first timer, but you will recognize him if you listen to Roll for Blank as Flint Escheron and Cobra Menad on that program. He's also a lawyer, but not the bad kind. He's the good kind. It's Greg Corbin. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Nate. Hey, Rex. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being on. How are you doing?
Not bad. Rex's song has been stuck in my head for 2 weeks.
At least 2 weeks.
Yeah, at least
all
2 weeks.
Fault, Greg.
I love it. Have you seen that sketch on Saturday Night Live?
Is it the one that during the quarantine he did like a sports show?
Is it older? This is an older one with Jason Sudeikis and Tim Robinson.
John Tesh and like Jake Tesh or something, his brother.
Oh, I love it.
And it's the NBA theme song. They're like, we've got it. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm going to dunk it. Anyway, fantastic sketch. I love Tim Robinson. Everybody should go watch his shows.
Yeah. What is that? Sorry.
I like plugging other people's stuff.
Yeah,
this is a fan podcast about podcasts that are fans of other TV shows.
While eating beans with George Went.
While eating beans with George Went.
Whatever you're doing right now, stop listening to this and go do any of the things that we think
anything else.
Delete this podcast. Go watch. I think you should leave with Tim Robinson.
Speaking of Sudeikis, too, the Ted Lasso show is phenomenal. And if you haven't seen it, they finally put an Apple Plus app on the PlayStation, so I started watching it the other day. I love it. I wish I had it earlier in the pandemic. It is the most endearing, optimism-based concept of just like being a warm person who just like, hey, things will work out if you believe in people.
I feel it has a really critical fail in that you can't steal somebody's login to watch it.
Yeah,
because they won't give you their Apple ID.
Apple's the only ones who figured out how to like completely lock that shit down. And is it evil? I don't know. I guess we'll put up a poll later.
They don't have
yes or definitely.
As long as it's not their motto not to be evil, they can be evil. Yeah. So that's fine.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about sports. We've all played them in some capacity. I mean, I played Little League baseball. I played some baseball in high school. I also played some tennis in high school. I played basketball in middle school when my height disadvantage was less pronounced. And I'm sure you've both played your fair share of sports. I know, Rex, you play pickup basketball when the weather's
decent. Played the games and the sports and the competitions with the things.
Yeah.
I dabbled.
I once got a pretty bad thigh bruise while playing basketball against Greg.
Oh, damn.
I got the rebound.
You did.
little Barkley action there with the hips and the elbows.
Yeah.
I hope that all three of us can at some point this coming summer go to a batting cage because I really would love to spend like $40 and just get blistered hands smashing baseballs coming out of a machine. It
and
is one of the
be able to and not be able to rotate your body for 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. It is great to recognize like, oh yeah, this 40-year-old torso doesn't torque like it used to. But yeah, so we're going to talk about sports on this episode.
Let's
start with the opening question. Rex, you'll go first. Greg, you're going to answer this too. There are winners and losers in sports. And that's one of the beautiful things about it, right? Is that there's a defined outcome, and almost nowhere else in life is there a defined outcome. Like, even if you think you did a good job with something that you've produced, someone will say, yeah, could you tweak this? Or maybe you should file that deposition different. I don't know. It's shitty. People are always correcting us as adults. But in sports, you know that you did it because it's fucking over. And speaking of winners and losers, I would like to ask both of you, would you rather play for which of the following losing teams?
Okay.
Would you rather play for the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Ottawa Senators, or our hometown Colorado Rockies? Rex?
It was almost a really great question, but it's an easy answer. Of course I want to be a Rocky. Despite the numerous shortcomings of the organization and the Monforts and just the mishandling of all things team related, they're my hometown club. Plus of all those, I would absolutely only want to be a baseball player. I have no desire for the concussions or to learn how to ice skate. And I suppose if I had a chance to make a basketball roster, then it would only be as like a perimeter shooter, which I feel like I could have a solid career if I was at that level.
Yeah, you could be a Kyle Korver or a much more talented Brian Scalabrine. You occupy part of the bench. You show up when they need you.
Yep. Have a good, 7 or 8 year career, and then go be an assistant coach probably.
Oh yeah. And but that seems to be the entry point, right? If you're a terrible basketball player, you become an assistant coach almost immediately.
Hello, Steve Kerr.
Well, but he was pretty, he was
a good basketball player. That's not fair.
He had a window. Anyway.
And let's not forget, he saved the Bulls in that championship game. He won that series. He carried Michael Jordan on his
He's
back.
More important than Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
To the game of basketball.
And I took that personally.
That's right.
And I took it personally.
I did love in that series, like, Rockies. I love Kerr going up on the podium and just saying like, yeah, I had to fix it. That was so cute. Good answer. Okay. Rockies. Greg, what do you think? Who would you rather play for?
Well, Rex is not wrong, but his reasoning is wrong. The Rockies are the answer. Baseball players are the best paid. Get the money. Two, Rex and I look like baseball players. We don't look like basketball players. We don't look like football players. We don't know what hockey is. We would be confused. I guess I could, I guess they have amateurs play hockey all the time coming in as goalies from the stands. So I guess I could do that. Be the guy who goes and watches the game. And when both all the goalies are injured, I get to go in. I could do that. But baseball, easy. And which team was it? The Colorado, who are they?
The Mockies, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're the ones with the really good third baseman, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah, yeah.
Josh Fuentes.
or Ryan McMahon, I guess, maybe.
I guess, maybe.
I don't know. The corpse of Bobby Abreu. Like, no, dig him up. Make him play third. We had Greg Jeffries once. He played third base.
And of all the locations to live, Denver, Colorado, that's a win. Minnesota, I couldn't handle 2 days of 0-degree weather here in Denver, let alone a whole season. So Minnesota's out.
Ooh, could you find Ottawa on a map, on an unlabeled map?
Oh, on an unlabeled map. No, no. If the labels were there, I think I could find it.
Just with the reading.
Yeah. And then
I'm pretty
Jacksonville.
Sure I could point out Vancouver and Toronto.
And you might mix those two up.
Maybe Montreal, but I might mix those two up. But Calgary or Ottawa?
Winnipeg?
Calgary is easy because Calgary is pretty much straight north from Denver.
Yeah, but that's just saying it's in the middle.
Yeah.
There's nothing to go by?
Yeah, I mean, you both answered correctly, I think. I would play for the Rockies any day if they would take me. I can switch hit. I played infield. I played outfield. I'll just stand and right. I don't care. I can track a ball.
Plus, you know, as soon as you get good, you're going to get traded to a contender.
Right. Well, and also I am almost 40, so they're clearly going to sign me to a 5-year, $40 million deal.
And you're familiar with the clubhouse. You could be the clubhouse guy. You've been there.
I know. Well, we've all been in that. We've all been in that clubhouse. That was a great time. You know, I got rid of my tickets. I demanded a refund.
You did?
I was done. Yeah, I'm done.
Good.
Yeah.
I may well buy a ticket to a single game next season or two, but I was not going to give them, you know, interest-free money, basically, with that. Anyway, you know, we're all upset. Great, great job on the opening question. 2 points each. And then, I mean, Ottawa would be cool, I guess, but yeah, skating is difficult.
Those Canadians are so friendly. Maybe that would be nice.
Yeah. Oh, man, everybody would be saying sorry when they bumped into you and stuff.
Do they good do healthcare? That while they're playing? Ooh, healthcare. Good angle.
Yeah,
you know,
the team doctors are different in like Canadian teams than American ones.
Let's jump into round number one. Greg, we're going to start with you. Do you have a vague idea about the America's Cup?
Yes.
Talk about it.
I have a vaguer idea.
So... My brain is coming to the conclusion that I don't have a vague idea. So I'm going to try a couple. I think this is the sailing race, and it's the race from somewhere on the East Coast to a different place on the East Coast. And the ships are owned by Steve Ballmer, and they're millions of dollars each, and they're gigantic, and they go faster than the speed of light because they're on water, and you can go faster on water because there's no speed limits.
It's true. And we don't need roads.
Yeah, where they're going, they don't need roads. They need shipping lanes.
If that's not the slogan for the entire league, then it's a real missed opportunity.
That's right. I think they primarily sail trimarans rather than catamarans or single hull ships. And I think the sail for one of those ships costs more than our three houses combined.
I don't know. We live in Denver.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then what we paid for our house, not what they're worth today.
Oh, okay.
Not what they're worth theoretically. Yeah, but Greg, you're right. It is the sailing race. So very good.
Yes.
Rex, the America's Cup. Big idea.
It's the sailing race. It probably moves around to different places, not just from East Coast to the same East Coast. Perhaps like in between some islands or some crazy aggressive seas down in like the horn of some continent. It's the one where I think everybody like jumps to different sides of the boat and hangs off while holding a rope to try to counterbalance things. And sponsored by like Rolex or Omega or some unnecessarily expensive watch that has nothing to do with the activity. And, nice. And Audi. I think there's a lot of Audi sponsorships.
Oh, I'm sure. When you think douchey sports, you think Audi.
Right.
that's their motto.
Yeah, the America's Cup has the thick with 2C, the thickest trophy available, which is kind of a curvaceous carafe.
Okay.
Man, that looks like the genie's still in there.
Right? I know.
He couldn't find his way out.
He's stuck. But yeah, it was originally awarded in 1851 by the Royal Yacht Squadron for a race around the Isle of Wight in the UK.
Is that with AOC and Omar Alon, the Yacht Squad?
Yes. Yeah, Yacht Squad. Yeah, Yacht Squad. And it was originally won by a schooner called America. So that's where the name comes from. What's crazy is it is, like Rex said, it's just kind of wherever. Currently, it's just in like a wealthy person's waterway that they own. And they just throw yachts in there and everybody just races. It is the pinnacle of rich
person
sports.
That's always on the east side of whatever continent, depending on your version of east. If you flip the globe upside down, west becomes east.
It's true.
It's relative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be in the right hemisphere to orient yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's the left hemisphere for it to be on the east.
But left of right. what? Left of what, Rex? Left of what? But yeah, it's multiple races between two yachts. And then one yacht is a defender representing the yacht club that currently holds the America's Cup. And then the second yacht is a challenger. And that's just sort of the thing. It's weird because boat racing is overly complicated, but that's because, you know, it's boats and it doesn't, I mean, it's a lot of work. I haven't sailed a lot. I've been on some boats. I feel like I understand that it's difficult.
They probably wager corgis.
Oh, they definitely do. They definitely do. And that makes me feel both excited and angry at the same time as as a loving corgi dad.
Yeah, but think if you could win a couple more. Rocket's got some brothers and sisters now.
Plus that's a big win. That's like, you know, $1,500 a dog that you're winning. It's pretty, sizable.
How do you think Rocket would feel if he was being wagered?
Oh man, I think he would be so bummed out. He's sleeping right now on the floor and I think he would be very upset. If he knew English, he would be very upset.
Especially if he went to a home that had boxes. Ooh.
Oh man, yeah. It has been a real trial too with construction on the streets and stuff and all the temporary signs and everything. He is awash with shapes.
Woof indeed, Greg.
Woof.
Great job on the America's Cup. Rex, I'm going to give you 2 points. Greg, 1 point.
Yes.
And it's time for round number two. Rex, do you have a vague idea about Escape to Victory or simply Victory?
Escape to Victory?
There's two titles. Yeah. Escape to Victory and Victory are the two titles of the thing I'm alluding to.
I'm going to go with drone racing.
Okay.
Because I know nothing about that. And I also know nothing about this. And I feel like they might overlap.
Great.
Why not?
I love it.
Is Victory placed? Is it capitalized?
It is capitalized, yeah. Escape to Victory is capitalized, as is Victory, as the shorthand for the other thing.
Pass. What you got, Greg?
Greg.
First, I would like to lodge my official protest to the last round of scoring. I believe I deserve more points than Rex. So
you're now answering under protest.
I'm playing the rest of this vague idea under protest. And then we will submit to, I don't know who runs sport leagues anymore. I guess Roger Goodell, Adam Silver, or Brian Baseball.
Yeah.
And
Brian Baseball is also on the board of podcasting. So this will work very well.
It will work his way up to him. And then, like my favorite baseball team, I will win my protest and then come back and we'll have to redo the rest of the game and we'll win.
This time, let's not use the pine tar.
It was in the right location and you don't measure pine tar against a home plate.
Yeah.
Also, the more I talk about something other than Escape to Victory, the less I have to talk about whatever Escape to Victory is. So
do you want to talk about George Brett and the pine tar scandal for a couple seconds? Cause I think that's interesting.
Yeah. There was no scandal. He used pine tar just like other baseball players.
Yeah.
And the Yankees paid for umpire was upset about that. And the Yankees
came out. It's only paid for because of revenue share and they have the largest portion of revenue share.
Yeah, I guess. No comment. I don't know. So 19, whatever. And
19
George Brett.
19
Dickety 3. I was a young lad, probably. And I watched George Brett hit a home run to beat the Yankees, our arch nemesis. I don't think I was born yet, but I might have been. And so crushes this home run. Yankees get mad. They come out and say his baseball bat is covered in pine tar. And then the home plate umpire takes the bat and measures it against home plate and calls him out saying, for some reason, you measure baseball bats against home plate to determine the pine tar content. And he comes storming out on the field in one of the greatest baseball scenes of all time.
Epic, just charge with these knees and elbows flying everywhere.
Flying.
And he's it's a time, because this is the 80s, and he is a man who at that time could be anywhere between 29 and 74 years old. You cannot tell how old George Brett
you
is
can't.
Because he's
you can't
just
tell how
in
old
that
he is?
Weird weathered super zone. He's like Steve McQueen stomping out. What the fuck are you talking about? I'm out. Bullshit. Beautiful.
And
it's a beautiful.
It was a dugout. It didn't have the rail on it, so he climbed up. He didn't have to jump over the rail to do it. It's just perfect.
It's a perfect moment. And the history of these two teams is George Brett has slugged a guy in the face on third base and didn't get thrown out of the game because it was the 80s, and you did that.
Yeah.
So that is the Yankees Royals rivalry, and so they call him out. He's pissed. The Yankees manager tries to take the, I say manager, but I think it was an assistant coach, grabs the bat and heads for the Yankees clubhouse. And so the Royals grab the bat from him to prevent him from hiding this bat because they need to protest that the pine tar wasn't beyond
it's
the
just great. Do you level. Remember
it's such
his
a great
pitching.
Moment. I can't think of his name.
He's got a great mustache and he lives in Colorado Springs.
Yes, it's oh my gosh, I'm blanking on a podcast.
Goose Gossage
and
Goose.
A great name. So Goose Gossage was pitching, and then the Yankees go on to win the game. Then in a September game, the second half of a rescheduled doubleheader, because the Royals win the protest and the MLB says this was not an illegal home run. So they have to play, I think, a third of an inning. Or one in a third innings or something along those lines to a empty Yankee stadium. Maybe 20 fans are there and the Royals win this pine tar protest game. And George Brett goes down as the guy in the pine tar scandal, despite not even doing anything wrong.
Instead of probably a top three third baseman of all time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
As a Royals fan, number one, but realistically top three.
And not to mention that I don't really understand the argument that if the part of the bat that hits the ball is sticky, that's going to interrupt the transfer of inertia from the bat to the ball, wouldn't it? Like, you're going to lose some distance because it's sticky.
Maybe. You can't expect an umpire to know science. They just know nothing's allowed to be there.
I mean, I know it was the 80s. Nobody knew what science was.
I mean, everyone was coked up.
If you allow the pine tar, then next you're going to allow flubber? Come on.
Only in basketball, though. Flubber's only allowed in basketball. So I think the escape to voyage is the original title for Star Trek's first movie.
Wonderful. Yeah. Great job on Escape to Victory, also known as Victory. It was a film from 1981. The head of the German POW camp, a soccer enthusiast played by Max von Sydow, organizes a match between Nazi players and allied captives, including Sylvester Stallone, and they play a soccer game. Michael Caine's also involved in this. It's fantastic. They play
Wait,
a soccer game.
Is this the longest yard?
And then they hatch a plan to escape from the camp.
It is the longest yard.
It is pretty much the longest yard, yeah. But you know, we only have the longest yard because Americans can't wrap their heads around soccer / OG football.
So you're telling me there's a movie with Sly Stallone and Batman's butler?
Yeah. Why do we fall down, Mr. Sly?
Well, to avoid the Nazi gunfire, sir.
Yeah, and also because, you know, it's the best way to draw a yellow card, I think, in this sport that we
Don't
play.
Forget to roll around in agony.
Yeah.
That's right. Milk it. I would like to claim those points based on my reference to a movie at the last minute shot.
Yeah. I think you should give Greg 1 point for derailing the whole thing into the pine tar scandal, and then give me 2 more points for adding on to it.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you both 1 point for victory. And now we're going to go into our first game.
Okay.
It's time for the Thunderdome. And this week in the Thunderdome, we have an incredible Thunderdome rematch. It's Nolan Ryan versus Robin Ventura in the year 2021. Who wins in a battle to the death between these two serious fighting rivals at their current
ages? Current ages, same setup?
Yeah. Yep.
Do we have to take turns? Is it just free for all?
Oh, yeah. No, go for it. Have fun.
Oh, Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
He's unbeatable. He probably can still throw 95 at the age of 95.
And he's just going to wait, let Robin come in, and he's just going to start wailing on him again. No problem.
Yep.
All right.
He's going to dodge the first one, and then he's just going to go to town. He's got that home mound advantage where he's got the elevated position, and Robin's got to charge you can take the four sprinting steps and get winded, which at this point you might have to, you know, shuffle up to the mound.
Yeah, there might be sidling instead of a sprint.
I think that there is a non-zero chance that Nolan Ryan's killed the guy with a pitch, right?
Yo, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened.
Not even professionally. I think he's just done it like in the woods.
Yeah. I think he hunts with baseballs.
Yeah.
I think he goes after deer and he nails them at 100 yards, pop down in Texas. I assume he still lives there. And so I think he has the killer instinct. And I would add, I think he might be one of the fiercest competitors baseball has ever seen. And I got to go with Rex on this. Nolan Ryan, I actually could picture him now. I can't picture Robin Ventura. It's probably because he already is dead. I think Nolan Ryan
might have already killed him.
It could be over.
So here's an important thing. Nolan Ryan is currently 74 years old.
And
Robin Ventura is 53.
Oh, wow.
There is a 21-year difference between these two players. I mean, and that's what's wacky about the fact that, like, when they fought, a 49-year-old man beat up a 27-year-old man. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue that Nolan Ryan's not just going to win, right? Because he does. He's got that killer instinct. I think, to Greg's point, he goes into the woods with a bow. He's carrying the bow for show. It's a show bow. Because he is literally going to just bean a deer and then beat it to death. Because he's just full of bloodlust.
He might even meet them on their ground and just lock horns with deer. I don't know.
That's, you know, I would pay to see that. Honestly, yeah. If Nolan Ryan has an OnlyFans or a Cameo account where he'll do shit like this, I'm in. Let's cobble together $1,500 and see what he'll do.
I don't know what they're going to be advertising, but I want somebody to pay for a Super Bowl commercial. That's the same setup as the old, I think it was McDonald's, where it was like Larry Bird and Jordan having ridiculous horse shots.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I want to see Randy Johnson and Nolan Ryan at the, like, a skeet shooting range, where they just have a bucket of baseballs, yeah, yelling pull, and they just let a bird fly.
Oh, man, that would be amazing, right? I wonder what Randy Johnson's doing right now. Do you think he's still got the mullet?
I saw him at a Diamondbacks game a couple years ago. He was like the guest of honor and threw out the first pitch. And I think he's like part owner down there and lives in Phoenix.
Okay. But
definitely has a mullet. And he's still 7.5 feet tall.
Didn't kill any birds though on that first pitch.
No, not that one.
He did. He actually did, but not on the first pitch. He sacrifices them before each game. It's in the only way he can hit the curveball.
Right. The roof was closed that day, so he knew there wasn't an opportunity. So he just, you know, went and found a pigeon and
just break the neck or bite the head off, Ozzy Osbourne style. I don't know.
Right. I think you can tell at this point in the podcast, Rex and I's expertise is in baseball, and any other sport reference is Larry Bird, I guess, and Michael Jordan, right?
And we can pull it back to baseball.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's always room for baseball. Great job on the Thunderdome. 2 points each. I think you're absolutely correct. There's no way Robin Ventura wins this fight, even with a 20-year age advantage. He showed his ass in the initial thing. He's just soft. And I don't say that to be mean to Robin Ventura, because he's a manager. I think he's probably a great guy. Whatever. He was a talented third baseman himself.
Whatever.
but yeah, I mean, Nolan Ryan's just a beast. He's a thing of legend, a myth. He's a manticore or a serpent monster. I don't know what.
Manticore.
So do you think?
Tentacle.
Do you think if the big unit were to pitch in the National League against Goose Gossage, he'd just bean him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's a deep cut, but that's the just Randy on Johnson principle. Hitting birds. Yeah.
Hitting birds.
Yeah. And he could kill him. Yeah. Especially current Goose Gossage, who might already be dead. Is Goose Gossage with us?
I think so. I think he lives in the Springs, and I think he's like the head of like the Retired Players Association or something.
Oh, he's younger than Nolan Ryan by 5 years.
Yeah.
He's 69.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. But he's still rocking the same stash. which is good.
You don't get rid of something like that.
No, yeah, I mean, this is like Tom Selleck is a mess, because why did you ever shave the mustache off, you weirdo?
Right. If you're Goose Gossage, if you're Tom Selleck, if you're Rolly Fingers,
yeah,
that guy's better have that mustache still.
Yeah. The wax industry is depending on some of you.
It's depending on it.
Great job on the Thunderdome. It's time for round number three. Rex, do you have a vague idea about the rumble in the jungle?
Yes. There was some rumbles in, that was, I want to say it was in Zaire, and it was Ali Frazier in...
Are you sure it wasn't George Wendt?
George Wendt and the Beans, and that was a different kind of rumble in the jungle.
There's some rumble in that jungle.
That's the vaguest idea that I have about the rumble in the jungle.
Yeah, you're right about
Zaire. It was a boxing match.
Yeah, it was a boxing match in Zaire.
So if I may, is that where he fought the gorilla in Manila?
Well,
is
that the thrilla in Manila was a different thing.
The thrilla in Manila was a different thing.
that was a different one. It's a different boxing excursion.
Okay. So it was a heavyweight match.
It sure was.
I believe two men entered a ring, and a third guy was there, but he kind of didn't do a whole lot. He kind of really avoided most of the attention, I think, and then would jump in and like, hey, look at me. They wore shorts and footwear. I believe by the end of it was over. And
there's a bell or a whistle or some sort of...
There was noise, I think. I know there was
noise.
There's
a noisemaker, yeah.
Yeah, something that made noise. And if I'm not mistaken, one of them trained in the snow and the other one had futuristic technology and fought robots to train and then killed the other's friend and then came back and had their sons fight each other or their sons or people they were training.
Both,
and then,
actually.
And then that guy wanted to fight Black Panther.
This is a winding road that I really like.
I'm pretty sure in the end, Black Panther won that match.
Yeah.
It's the true rumble in the jungle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever. It's true.
So this was a sporting event, right?
It sure was.
Okay.
You're doing great. The rumble in the jungle was a boxing match held in Zaire between Muhammad Ali and George the Grill Foreman.
Foreman.
Ah.
It had an attendance
had
of 60,000 people.
What?
Yeah. In 1974.
Oh, I was going to say 72.
Pretty wild stuff. Rex, I'm going to give you 1 point because you're right about Zaire. Greg, I'm going to give you 2 points because you went on a weird path that was interesting. And I just want to keep this whole situation fresh. So just so you both know, you're tied now. Tied now at 8 points each.
I applaud Greg getting 2 points for that. But I had one of the fighters and remembered the country that it was in.
Hey,
that is no longer in existence.
You remember how you guys have all seen some basketball games where they don't call fouls early in the game. And by the end of the game, they give weird fouls where it shouldn't have been a foul.
Oh,
that was a makeup call.
Calling that Mario Kart rubber band AI.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the purple shell gets deployed just whenever anybody's doing well. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it's a little bit more like if you put in a cheat code early on and the computer's like, I don't like that cheat code anymore. Hey, other guy, here's your cheat code. Here's your Game Genie.
All right.
Ooh, I remember the Game Genie.
Yeah, wasn't that fun? Attaching another thing to your Nintendo cartridge and then plugging that into the thing? It was like now input an elaborate code. So that you can have 30 lives as Mega Man instead of one. So we're tied at 8 points. We're going to round number four.
Basketball.
The music video of John Tesh at Red Rocks doing the theme. have you all seen that? Because it is one of the most brilliantly hilarious things in the world. He is so self-satisfied with his composition, and he's standing out there as a sort of composer slash whoever the guy is,
conductor.
He's a composer conductor style thing, but he's like air dribbling while it's happening. It is fantastic. And then he gets behind the keyboard. oh man, it's really, it's worth the YouTubing.
To our listeners, please pause and go watch John Tesh play basketball. Did you know that the NBA song, the name of the song is called Round Ball Rock?
Yeah.
Round Ball Rock.
That's what he, that's the name he gave it because he wrote the song. It's absurd. The guy that was the co-host of like Entertainment Tonight throughout the 80s wrote the theme for NBC's basketball. Which, of course, NBC doesn't have basketball anymore because nobody has basketball except for expensive cable packages. But whatever. We're not here to debate that. The economics of content policing. Let's jump into round number four. Greg.
Round number four.
Yes.
Do you have a vague idea about the Man of Steel?
Wow. I have so many things to say about the Man of Steel. But instead, I'll talk about how I've been watching The Crown, and did you know Princess Anne was an Olympic horse champion? I don't think she won a gold medal, but she was competitive.
She beat the hell out of a horse, though.
She took a baseball and threw it 100 miles an hour and killed a horse.
That's what horse championing was.
And say, I have a hard time with you getting, you being an Olympic horse champion. Shouldn't the horse be the champion?
Yeah.
Isn't that the real athletic achievement?
You know, but the thing is, they're professionals, and at that time, they didn't allow professionals into the Olympics. So they, it was a loophole. If you rode the horse, then you're the champion.
I've only been riding the horse, for 6 months, but this horse has been a horse its whole life. So you can see the conflict here.
And this horse has been a horse, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Peanut butter lips and all.
The Man of Steel. So I have a vague idea about Superman. I have a vague idea of Cam Newton pretending to be Superman. I have a vague idea of the Iron Man competition, and that there's a guy called the Iron Cowboy, which is a different type of metal. Cowboys are men. So the Iron Cowboy is a guy who I think competed in 50 Ironman in 1 year, which is really impressive because I have a friend who competed in one Ironman in 1 year. And I don't think competing in the Ironman is the impressive part. I think the impressive part is he had friends who had to put up with him talking about 50 Ironmen in 1 year.
There's no way that you could have friends while doing that that aren't also that same Iron level of people. Just silly.
They could be fish, right? Because there's a swimming aspect to that. So if you believe you're friends with fish.
Yeah, but Trey Anastasio really wasn't much into sports, I don't think.
Noodling for 25 minutes.
So that's all I know about the Man of Steel. Superman, Cam Newton, Iron Cowboy, Midnight Cowboy, Midnight in Paris. You love Paris. Both of you love Paris. So I will talk about Paris for a while to maybe get some points there. It's a city in France.
C'est ville.
I believe they call it the city of La Person de Steel. Oh, is it the Eiffel Tower? The Eiffel Tower is the Man of Steel. That's what I'm going with. Final answer.
Great. Yeah. No, you did wonderfully. The only thing I was waiting for was the fact that this Iron Man was going to be Nolan Ryan, who is just competing in all Iron Man competitions. Right. Rex, the Man of Steel, do you have a vague idea?
I had a similar through line, Man of Steel, Superman, but I was going to go Iron Man Cal Ripken Jr.
Yes.
He's the
it's
Iron
Cal
Man.
Ripken Jr. Oh.
Or maybe Blades of Steel, the Super Nintendo hockey game from like the mid-90s. But
or maybe Wesley Snipes' Blade.
Maybe Wesley Snipes' Blade.
Yes.
Also
his
Major
swords
League.
Are made out of steel, probably.
and he... he tacks his batting gloves to the wall every time he steals a base.
There you go.
He does. Oh, the man. Oh, is the Man of Steel one of the baseball players like Ricky Henderson? Is it Ricky Henderson?
Ricky Henderson was what I was going for. Yeah. Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
The Man of Steel.
I'm awarding you both 1 point because you had delightfully hilarious answers.
Can we talk about how baseball writers are the most creative, best nickname inventors of all time?
Because they're the only ones who try. Like, basketball writers don't try, and that's why basketball players create their own nicknames.
Which is
called, like, the Blue Dart or whatever.
He's the Blue Arrow.
The Blue Arrow, which is like, okay, cool. You're like a
dishwashing
like
soap
tier DC character.
Yeah.
I'm the Blue Arrow.
He's got like a little gesture when he hits the three. He like pulls his quiver.
I like that, but like then be like the sniper or like sure shot. I don't know. Like there are so many cooler things than the Blue Arrow.
We had a whole feature ranking Nuggets nicknames on Hard Pick a couple of weeks ago. And the
Rex,
number one.
You were right. You were right here. You have the number one answer. You are absolutely right on the best nickname.
The best nickname in the Denver Nuggets is Gary Harris Harris.
Yeah.
He is his own nickname. Second best is Monte Morris, who's the Count of Monte Assisto.
Pretty darn good.
I love that one.
It's great.
I love that especially because it ties into the fact that Monte Morris was once of French royalty. He was cast off onto an island in a prison where he learned to dish dimes.
Yep.
He came back to one of these fancy balls and was just like, hey, look, I got the moves. And he fell in love with his original wife.
So which ball is the fancy one? Is that the pigskin or is that the round ball or is that the one with the stitches?
It's the dancing one.
Yeah, it's the crystal cotillion.
Okay.
The cotillion.
Now, I believe the crystal cotillion was a batter for the, I think it was for the Oakland A's who used to get beaned a lot and then would be injured for the rest of the season.
Crystal Cotillion was the rematch from the Rumble to the Jungle.
Yeah. where Muhammad Ali fought Glass Joe from Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Yeah,
just
right.
Immediately shattered his face.
Shattered his face. Yeah.
But Ricky Henderson, the Man of Steel, between 1979 and 2003, when he last made a major league appearance, stole 1,406 bases. Can you, like, no one steals bases in Major League Baseball the way Ricky Henderson used to. And I there's a really great 30 for 30 about Ricky Henderson where it's evident that he would still be like trying to play Major League Baseball now if anybody would sign him at 50 something years old. He'd be like, no, yeah, I can still outrun most people. He is a wild character who, you know, he's got the same swagger that Michael Jordan has. Like you sense from that 30 for 30, the same thing that you got from The Last Dance. Like Ricky Henderson would just take anything personally and he'd be like, yeah, no, okay, I'm going to steal six bases today because this guy doesn't think I can. And he would do it. He would do it successfully. Just fantastic player. Amazing. Great job.
I had his baseball card. It was my favorite baseball card. And mostly because he has a great baseball name, Ricky Henderson. The announcer saying Ricky Henderson, you know that guy's about to do something cool. He might just strike out and steal first. He might get a triple, knock a home run. He might just get on first and then steal all the way home.
Yeah.
He was fantastic. And
on his way
then
to
he
first.
Would make
and then
on his
way
at first.
Home.
Yeah. He was amazing.
He was really fun.
And now it's time to play our second game. We're going to play Where'd They Play. So what I'm going to do is each of you are going to get two athlete names and the number of teams they played for. And I just want to see how close you can get to all of the teams that they played for.
Are we each getting two people or are we each getting the same two people?
You're each getting two separate people.
Okay.
So number one, we're going to start with Rex. Rex, Bo Jackson played for four teams in his professional career. What were those teams?
I hate you, Nate.
Well, it'd be too easy if I gave it to you.
Well, it's the Royals and the Raiders are the easy ones. And I don't know where else he played. Auburn, where he obviously got paid.
That's true. That's probably true.
So I'm going to get 3 points. Cincinnati, I think, is where he ended his career.
You're close, but you're not exactly right.
That's all I got.
Greg, do you know the other two professional teams that he played for to snag all the points?
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he played for a Saturday morning cartoon with Wayne Gretzky and Michael Jordan, where they stopped criminals because they were the best of each sport.
Yep.
It was a spinoff of the Michael Jordan Chaos in the Windy City video game where he threw basketballs at muggers.
Yeah, I think it was like on for maybe one season, and it was one of my favorite cartoon shows that year, I guess. It was, I gave it a Golden Globe or an Emmy or whatever you give cartoons. I think he went played for the Browns. Did he play for the Browns?
He didn't. He did not play for the Browns.
Okay. I don't know where else he played. All I know is that once he could run up a wall, my love for Bo Jackson never ended. And then the fact that he rides his bicycle everywhere. He does a charity ride every year. He is and the greatest person of all time.
Archery?
Yeah.
He's a seriously compelling human being.
He goes out and hunts deer with Nolan Ryan and Jamal Murray. That's why he gave Jamal Murray the nickname the Blue Arrow, because Jamal was so good at archery.
And because he carries Kansas City Royals branded arrows.
He does. I don't remember the other teams. I knew the same two as Rex.
The other two teams he played for were the Chicago White Sox and the California Angels.
Oh, that's
right. He played very limited time for those teams. After the knee injury, came back. He played baseball a little bit when he stopped playing football.
He did end his career at Cincinnati. He was playing against the Bengals. He was not on the Bengals.
Oh.
All right.
Dang it. He's going to get an extra point for that, isn't he?
No, he gets the 2 points he got. So now, Greg, we're going to go to
Who knows baseball?
Randy Moss played for 5 different teams in his career. Can you name how many of those can you name? You're going to get points for as many as you can name. This is a crazy wild card category. Anything can happen.
So anything can happen. Yeah.
Well, 5 things can happen.
Yeah.
Up to 5.
Rex, you think 5 things can happen, but I have a skill that I've demonstrated to change the subject. I have a set of skills that is useless in this game, useless in life, maybe useful in this game. Randy Moss, he played for football, right? So
yes.
he played football for the National Football League. That's one. I believe he was in Minnesota.
He sure was. That's correct.
Was he the guy that they said was good at quarterback for being a black guy, something like that? Was that Randy Moss or was Randall that Dante Culpepper?
I think that was Dante Culpepper. Yeah.
I think it was Dante Culpepper. Okay. Randy Moss. So Randy Moss probably wasn't quarterback, was he? He was probably a wide receiver, right?
He was. Yeah. Good. Yeah. He was a wide receiver.
Randy Moss. He probably played for New England.
He did.
And, the Jets then, because the Jets, you know, they pick up whoever.
Whoever New England doesn't want.
He played. Yeah. Probably didn't play for New York, did he? Kansas City would be my next guess, because likewise, Kansas City would pick up the worst players who used to be good. So he probably took $1 million from Kansas City, whether he played there or not. And then I'm going to go with Ottawa as my last one. He played for the Senators in his final few years.
You were correct about the Minnesota Vikings and the New England Patriots. He also played for the Oakland Raiders, the Tennessee Titans, and the San Francisco 49ers.
And Marshall.
And Marshall.
And the Ottawa Senators.
And yes. He had a notable cross-sport hockey and football career that no one had ever done before.
If you give me 12 minutes, I'm going to edit the wiki.
Okay. We're number 3, Rex. Frank Thomas. Frank Thomas played for three teams. The Big Hurt played for three teams. Name those teams.
The White Sox, the Whiter Sox, and the Black Sox.
The White Sox is correct. Yeah.
I didn't know that he played for other teams. It's going to be AL. I'm going to say the Blue Jays.
Hell yes. Well done.
And the Twins.
You're close. It's another one of these perennial loved but underperforming teams. He played for the Oakland Athletics also.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. Very good. Okay.
So I had a Frank Thomas t-shirt as a kid. So that is my one mistake as a Royals fan. My mother grew up in, well, she didn't grow up in Chicago, but she lived there for a number of years. And I hold it against her every day.
There is a,
I don't.
A Frank Thomas statue in the outfield of White Sox Stadium. And it's just enormous and imposing. And there's a little like on the plaque. It says, yes, he's really this big.
There was a period of time. So when I was collecting baseball cards with my friend, when we were both like 11 and 12 years old, we kind of just called who our favorite player was going to be. And he called Ken Griffey Jr. So I immediately jumped and Frank Thomas was my pick. So I have a binder full of Frank Thomas cards from 92, 93 Upper Deck. Just out of that love of him smashing the ball.
Just mashing.
And just putting the big hurt on it. That head just getting thicker with time. And now it's so just amazing.
No Barry Bonds, though.
No, he's not Bonds thick. Greg, last one.
Yes.
George Gervin played for two different teams during his career. Which teams were they?
Can I guess which sports he played for in his career?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I can tell you which sport if that would help. I'll round it down.
So my guess is he played George Gervin. I was going to go with a football player, a baseball player. Maybe he still could be a baseball player, but Iceman's not a very good nickname for a baseball player. I feel like probably football.
He played basketball.
George Gershwin. He was a Gershwin brother.
Yeah. Known for riotous marches.
Yes. I believe he composed Rhapsody in the Blue Jays.
Rhapsody in Blue Jays and I think an American in Parisian basketball.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so he played
the
basketball.
The lane's so weird-shaped.
professionally, he played basketball.
He sure did.
Well, he didn't play for the Bulls in the 90s because everyone knows every player that was on those teams. So
he did not play for the Bulls in the 90s, no.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to go with he must have played for like the 76ers and the Bulls, not in the 90s, the way you said that.
That's good. I'm glad you picked up on my inflection. He did play for the Bulls in like 1983. He played Michael Jordan's rookie year. And Jordan basically forced him off the team because he's like, I don't want to share with this guy. And so that was George Gervin just retired after that. He spent the rest of his career in, Rex, do you know?
I'm going to say Celtics.
He was with the San Antonio Spurs.
The Spurs had a team in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was just the Lakers, the Bulls, and the Celtics, and Detroit played as well, and just those four teams played. And then the 76ers were in the 70s and the 90s and after, but just weren't around in the
80s. And the Washington Generals, I think.
Yep.
They're just to lose.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Gervin played for San Antonio through the 70s. He was chosen by the Phoenix Suns. He never played for them, but... yeah, he was like a huge force on the Spurs. He also played for the Pontiac Chaparrals, the Virginia Squires of the ABA, and then he played for San Antonio for 11 years, one season with the Bulls, and then he played some European ball. So,
I would have guessed the European teams,
right?
But I'm not going to now.
You're a big fan of Banco di Roma. I know that.
That's right.
And TDK Manresa.
See.
Yeah, but really they kind of fell apart, and so I haven't been into them since.
Since they lost La Liga.
Yeah, and Nate cut me off.
Yep, you're good.
Save
All it. Right, great job. So Rex, you got 4 points, and Greg, you got 3 points for where they play. So right now, Rex, 13, Greg, 12. And now,
lovely.
From the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing. And the only thing that's French about it is the name. So if either of you could be a Hall of Fame player in any sport, what sport would you choose? And what position would you play?
I think my gut says baseball because that's all we've talked about so far. And that is because if you're in the Hall of Fame in baseball, we know where that is. That's in Cooperstown. And Football, I'm sure I could come up with where it is. I think it's probably at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They have like a annex on it.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen just ushers you in.
Yeah, that's right. So that is why I would think baseball, but baseball has the worst decision makers choosing who goes into the Hall of Fame because there are so many good players not in the Hall of Fame. It's frustrating. So baseball's off the table for me. So I would like to go into the Hall of Fame for cycling because then I could dethrone Greg LeMond as the most famous Greg, other than Greg Brady, I guess. And I got paid money to ride a bicycle. That sounds pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. The only other famous Greg is Gregor Samson from The Metamorphosis, but you know, he turned into a bug.
Yeah, and once you're a bug, you no longer get the fame.
Once you go bug, you can't go back, I think that's the byline there.
I remember when Will Smith said that in Men in Black.
You definitely can't go nug, that's for sure. Well, yeah, cycling's an interesting choice. I mean,
I like cycling, yeah.
Especially because if you could be a Hall of Fame athlete in cycling who didn't cheat.
Oh, I didn't say
I didn't cheat.
I don't think that's possible, actually.
Well, I mean, it used to be. Although maybe. I guess they were probably cheating by just they were doing meth and shit because everybody was on benzos and everything else. It's just it's always something. Yeah, cycling's interesting because it would be like cycling is fun, I think, but it would also be one of the most exhausting sports to play because it's all endurance and it's so I think I would just be terrified of the fact that you would crash and probably like tear your skin up and break something.
I can't tell you enough how much that terrifies me on a bicycle. I love riding my bike. 37 miles per hour is the fastest I can go without completely just crying myself, pooping a little. And the best part about cycling is their training is to live in Spain and drink wine and ride a bicycle. Yeah. You can't get better training than that.
And just occasionally take all of the blood out of your body, store it at an altitude, and then put the blood back in
your
body.
Put it in a centrifuge.
Yeah, but then you have two people's worth of blood.
Yeah.
Think how powerful you could be. If you had three people's worth of blood.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Unlimited blood.
That's important to allow stem cell research.
Yeah, always have a clone handy.
Great. Rex, what sport would you pick to be a Hall of Famer in?
You know, I'm going to go rogue.
Okay.
And I'm going to be a hockey goalkeeper.
Nice.
Because a Hall of Fame hockey players, I believe, are unreasonably appreciated and respected and recognized for the rest of their lives. As long as you stay in Canada, obviously.
Sure.
I like Canada. Toronto is a lovely city. I think it would be great to... I'm assuming part of the... being in the Hall of Fame is you get a salary just to be there from open to close.
Yeah.
Shake people's hands.
You might even have to live there. I don't know. It's kind of, it's a mall Santa gig though, for sure.
You know, I've been to the Hockey Hall of Fame. I haven't been in, but I've been to it. And there is Bobby Orr is sitting outside shaking people's hand.
Just the skeleton of Bobby Orr.
That's right. It's animated. I don't know how they did it.
You stuff him with hockey pads and he's like the real thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever, you're not gonna call bullshit on that. You don't know what Bobby Orr looks like.
I have a vague idea of what he looks like because I used to live in Boston and the garden has a statue of Bobby Orr diving, and so that's the only reason I know his name is because of that statue. So I think he's made out of granite, the real Bobby Orr.
So any bronze guy wearing a Bruins jersey is probably Bobby Orr.
It could be Bobby Orr.
Yeah,
it could.
He's just that lumpy. That's just how he looks.
It could be Bill Laimbeer. Sometimes Bill Laimbeer likes to dress up like hockey players.
I mean, it, looking at a picture of Bobby Orr from recently, he and Bill Laimbeer do have the same hairstylist. So there's that. And Bobby Orr is still alive, remarkably. I thought he passed away too, but he's like 74.
Rex, I like hockey. Hockey's a good answer.
Yeah.
So, and to finish it off, there the few times I have been to Toronto, there's a butcher shop in the town's called Leslieville. It's kind of a northern suburb of Toronto, and there is in the butcher shop they have a big chalkboard behind the counter that just has a list of people that eat free in the butcher shop, and it's basically just the Hockey Hall of Fame. So if you happen to go in there and your name is on the list, you eat free. And that's how I know that it's good to be a Hall of Fame hockey player in Canada.
Oh yeah.
In Canada.
Is Gretzky on that board, or are they still set about the Edmonton?
So there's another part of the board that says these people are not allowed in, and it's a list of other athletes, and some of them appear on both, and I would bet that Gretzky appears on both.
Yeah,
he eats free, but he's not allowed inside.
You can have the sandwich, but we will give it to you on the curb.
Right.
I think soccer would be another like solid one as well, because I feel like around the world, if you are the best of the best of soccer, you're not just an all-star or a superstar or the GOAT or, you know, this legend. You are literally a god. Like they, you know, I'm thinking of Pele. I don't even know that Pele would be that competitive of a player today, but in my mind, he can kick a ball through into a net from anywhere in the world. He just does it.
He goes hunting with Nolan Ryan. He kills deer.
He goes hunting with Nolan Ryan. My favorite thing about Pele is I believe he got paid. I think at the time he came to the U.S., the average soccer salary was like $15,000, and he got paid like $3 million to play for like the New York Cosmos or Galaxy or something.
I think it was the Cosmos. Yeah. Cause that was weird 70s, early 80s soccer league that they tried to launch here.
Right. So they just go, okay, Greg, you're a Hall of Famer. Here is $1 billion to come play in the U.S. because we want to try to launch a soccer sport again.
Yeah. You gotta say like, yeah, to be a Diego Maradona.
Right.
Or even just to be like, Messi, right. Where, okay, cool. Yeah. Messi's going to play a couple more years in European football. And then he knows he's got 5 years where he can just play for the LA Galaxy. And they're going to pay him $10 million just to like play 12 minutes. And that's it. Just to sell jerseys.
And it's close to being a MLB player who then goes and plays in Asia, right? It's close to that, except for you're going where they'll pay you just as much money.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They'll pay you more because they don't understand anything. All of the MLS is just the Rockies. If you're old and over the hill, but you have a name, they'll pay you too much money.
Ubaldo Jimenez plays for the Rapids and he was a pitcher for the Rockies.
But he's still got that name recognition.
Oh yeah.
He does.
And he's like, where do I know him from?
Did he play? He must've played for Barcelona or Buffalona or, Real Madrid or the Rockies or somewhere. Where did he play?
One of those obscure teams of those that mid-major. No one knows anything about. Great job. 2 points each for Les Choses Francaises Arbitraires. I love both of your answers. I mean, it's a tough pick because it would be, you know, it's like, do you want to join rarefied air? And then it's sort of what's the Hall of Fame with the least number of people in it? But that's sort of boring. And yeah, like
worst answer is definitely football.
Yeah. Yeah.
Followed shortly behind by swimming.
Yeah. I guess you didn't drown. Congrats.
Right.
I guess baseball, it would be great, except for the snubbing of all-stars who don't make it into it.
Yeah. But the Baseball Hall of Fame, the voting in rules are just too archaic. I do like the idea that journalists pick, because I think that they're going to, like, especially if it's like legacy journalists. I mean, it's getting weird now.
Yeah.
We don't have the same sort of, it used to be this thing where it's like, oh yeah, well this guy covered the Yankees for like 45 years. So of course he knows baseball. And it's a little, there's too much turnover in the way that newspaper and media works now. So it's kind of screwed up. Cause obviously like we didn't put anybody in the Hall of Fame this year.
Right.
Like nobody passed the threshold, and they don't have a sub rule to go, okay, well, if nobody passes the threshold, then we lower the threshold and let in the next group.
Somebody has to look. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, they should have a rule that says if nobody gets voted in, then all the players who did steroids that keep getting snubbed, they get in automatically to encourage these voters to vote someone in.
Let's have
new
a
answer.
Yeah.
New answer. I'm getting voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, but I'm refusing to enter until Pete Rose gets let in.
Okay, great. Yes. I like that. I like that a lot. That's
a solid answer.
That's real good.
And I'm refusing to go into the Baseball Hall of Fame till Rex gets in. So,
which I mean, if Rex is brave, you're braver because your bravery is hitched to his.
Double brave.
I'm double brave.
Yeah, I would like to ask both of you, like, I think Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think you put Roger Clemens in too. I don't like Roger Clemens. I like Barry Bonds a lot more than I like Roger Clemens.
Well, the thing about Barry Bonds, issue. Barry Bonds earned his Hall of Fame status in his first 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
His
as a
first
pirate
10
years. And early in San Francisco, he was fucking amazing. And you cannot Incredible. Deny that, like, fine, he cheated for power, but I still think, like, the bat speed and the contact, and, like, it's just, he doesn't get walked as much maybe, but he wasn't striking out when he was a pirate. He was just right. as good at the plate. He was just littler.
He was littler. He's just a little guy.
Yeah, he was a little guy.
Your same story with Ricky Henderson, if you had the card, and it's like, well, this is now my favorite player. That was Barry Bonds, as I had a Barry Bonds card, and it was skinny Barry Bonds, but he had the big dangly earring. And
yeah,
at the time, I thought it was just earring. The coolest. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. He was so badass.
The thing I like about the Baseball Hall of Fame, or maybe just baseball in general, I think Ken Griffey Jr. was the first Hall of Famer to be the first draft pick in his class. So normally in baseball, first draft picks don't make it in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's other sports like that, which makes me more excited for baseball. There's some complicating factors. Obviously, players choose to go to college and,
the baseball draft is just a mess.
Like it's
at the wrong time of year.
47 rounds.
Yeah. It's too long. Yeah, like you should.
Salvador Perez for the Royals got drafted at age 16 because he's from Venezuela, not from the U.S. So a 16-year-old gets drafted.
Yeah. Right? it's weird because it's all funneling into, like, okay, you're going to go into the lower system and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Which I get that. But I don't know. I think baseball would almost be better if they just said, okay, we're going to draft this guy and he's 16. We're playing him. That's how the draft works. If you pick a guy in the first two rounds in the MLB draft, they are on your 40-man roster and they play for you.
Yeah.
That would be fucking cool. I would love to see a 16-year-old kid step in and just try.
Baumgartner? Baumgartner? what question are we answering? Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it was the Hall of Fame
right.
question.
Who's the Hall of Fame?
You both got 2 points.
Yeah,
and okay. And that was excellent. So right now, Rex has 15. Greg has 14. We're going into the final round. This will decide everything. Literally everything.
Final countdown just for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as everybody knows who listens to this podcast, the winner gets a 2-ton bag of marbles shipped to them, cash upon delivery. you cannot refuse it. The driver has been told and required to stand there and wait until you pay him, and you just have to deal with a bunch of round glass. It's going to be great.
How many marbles are in 2 tons?
Oh man, this is
that.
Like the,
wait, that's question number 5, bar. Rex.
That's yeah. it.
What size are the marbles? What's the volume? Oh my god!
Did you guys watch the Marble Olympics on YouTube?
Oh, who won?
No.
I think Cat's Eye or maybe the Galaxy Marble.
Nice. Ooh, I love
lovely.
Galaxy Marble.
Yeah. Well, they're a,
lot
they're
going
a good competitor. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
they're very heady. Yeah. They're like true. The Rajon Rondo of marbles. You know, they're the smartest
that's,
player.
That's
on
where
the...
you go. The Rondo of marbles. He's going to yeah. really, he's been great. He was great in the early half of his career. He got a little weird and then he can't be a good teammate with anybody.
I feel like every time they talk about him on the court, they're like, he's the smartest. He knows what's going on in basketball. He's the smartest player in the game. And then all the players are like, yeah, he's the smartest player in the game. I don't know what that means because he hasn't won a championship since 2008, unless yeah. he won with the Lakers last year. I don't remember who he played
was
for.
Was he on the Lakers last year?
Is he retired? Was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he's on Boston again? Or
I have no idea.
Anyway, whatever.
Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Okay. The final topic.
Wait.
Rex.
Yes.
Do you have a vague idea about Sam Bowie?
Sam Bowie?
Sam Bowie.
Wasn't that the pick in front of Jordan?
It was. That's very good.
The biggest bust of all time?
He's a pretty big bust. He was
pretty
a
pretty big
bust.
I mean, maybe not the biggest bust. He's only the biggest bust because of Jordan. He's not like a Ryan Leaf or anything.
No, yeah. He's not even a Greg Oden.
He had a great commercial.
Greg Oden and Ryan Leaf just like waiting for a bus. That would be fun.
That would be fun. Like they, the reverse, like the Heisman. Nissan does the Heisman things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Lozman situation.
Lozman.
Greg, anything to add about Sam Bowie?
If I'm not wrong, that is one of the three best draft classes of all time. Because I believe that draft class was Sam Bowie, who has the nickname Baba Bowie. then you have Michael Jordan, who everybody knows about him. The country of Jordan was named after him. and Tracy Jordan also. And then you have, who's actually Tracy Morgan in real life. He's played by Tracy Jordan. And then you have Charles Barkley. I think he's called King James now. And I could be wrong about that, but he gets drunk and fights with Shaq. And then you have, what's his name for Houston, who is also really good, and everybody forgets about him because you also had Barkley and Jordan in the same class.
Hakeem Olajuwon?
No, I think he, I believe Hakeem was the guy on the Jamaican bobsled team.
Kiss the egg. Kiss my lucky egg.
Kiss my lucky egg. I really don't know much about Sam Bowie, other than the Jordan fact. And I would have to say that he isn't the biggest bust of all time. Given after having been to US Cellular Field, the statue of Frank Thomas has the biggest bust.
Biggest bust of all time.
Of all time.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh my God. Yeah, Rex, you're right. I mean, you're both right. Sam Bowie was drafted before Michael Jordan. He's drafted number two in the 1984 draft by the Portland Trail Blazers. The Blazers didn't take Jordan because they just took Clyde Drexler. And we all know how that played out.
Clyde the
Drexler Jordan rivalry was wild. I mean, there was at least one EA Sports game that was the Bulls versus Blazers that I had for Super Nintendo in like 93, 94, something like that. Anyway, but yeah, he played a pretty long career. He played 10 years at center. Very talented player, but he never became quite what Michael Jordan became. Drafted before him was Hakeem Olajuwon, and then Charles Barkley was drafted four. Also, you had Otis
John
Thor,
Stockton.
And John Stockton was
the, yes.
John Stockton drafted 16th. But yeah, everybody remembers Otis Thorpe. He was a lot of fun on those on those Rockets teams because it was Olajuwon, Thorpe, and then Robert Horry at that time with I think Sam Cassell played, young Sam Cassell. There was that run.
As opposed to the old Sam Cassell,
well,
who's still
I mean,
in the league.
Old Sam Cassell continues to play.
Who's
have you guys seen a picture?
Top five ugliest basketball players of all time.
Look at John Gunn Stockton in this picture.
He's a beef boy. Yeah. He's a real beef boy.
Yeah. Gosh, I would hate to get caught in a forest with him and Nolan Ryan. Golly.
And the guns. Kansas City Kings were a thing back then.
That's right.
That's wild, right?
Yeah.
Within my lifetime, I think both of you weren't born yet. In 1984.
When was the draft?
It was 84, yeah. And I guess I was wrong. Barkley wasn't drafted fourth. Perkins was fourth. Sam Perkins.
June 19th. I was on my way. I was born September of 84. So
all right. Yeah, you were a pomegranate or something. I don't know.
That's right. I wanted to see the how the Clyde Drexler Jordan rivalry
how that would play out.
Yeah, so I popped out.
Like, I got to get out there and see this.
this is lively.
I won't have object permanence, but in a couple of years, I'll know what's going on. So, yeah, 2 points each for Sam Bowie.
Victory!
And that means that Rex has won with 17 points. Greg, you had 16. This was a real close match.
Greatest of all time.
And I thank you both so much. Rex, is there anything that you would like to plug as the winner of this week's
show? The Hard Pick Mining Company, obviously. Everybody's fourth favorite Denver area basketball podcast.
We don't need to list the other three because they're all trash.
They're all trash. Get out. That's it. That's the plug.
I think you should also plug Steno Denver, people who want co-working space and want a chill environment in which to work.
Steno Denver. We just got a pinball machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should come and
visit. I'm gonna squat in it until it becomes yours permanently.
Do it. Grand champion score is at 16 mil right now. I mean, somebody's got to beat it. Wow. Whoever sets the grand champion score gets to pick the charity of the month, which we've got like $600 saved up to donate to.
Nice.
That's a fair amount of cash.
That's great. So
come visit the Snow Denver. Get some flowers from Reverie Floral. All those to-be wedding people out there. We could really use it.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, yeah, we're getting to that point where I think stuff's going to start opening up again and people are going to start doing things. But yeah, it's been a long haul for the last year, especially for us young entrepreneurial types trying to cobble together our excellence into financial sustainability.
We and then any investors that want to buy into Le Bureau Americain.
Yes. We. Give us your money.
That'd be great. You're heroes. Thanks, Nate. That was super, super fun.
Yeah, that was so great. Greg, anything you would like to plug?
I think everyone should go and watch the movie Fastball. I think everyone should watch I Think You Should Leave. I'm in all of these, of course. I think that baseball has some of the greatest stories, and I would like to plug the story of the cocaine Pittsburgh Pirates. Really good, interesting stuff there. But I run a small law firm here in Denver, Signal Law. And if you have a small business with some needs, have some contracts you want someone to look at, have a business idea you'd like to set up in America.
If you have a vague idea about law, you should probably get some professional.
You should probably get
direct.
Real help. Yeah.
Yeah. You should get real help. No, Nate, this was really fun. I came in thinking I haven't watched a sport game.
Sport game?
In a year. I think that's not true. I saw 3 Nuggets games during the bubble. So I guess that was like watching a video game. Yeah. And I don't think I've seen any other game since before COVID. So I really didn't know where this was going to go because my baseball, football, basketball mind was completely washed. And I decided to talk about Princess Anne instead.
Yeah. Oh, and I commend you for what you brought to the show because this was a lot of fun. I think, you know, you both brought a lot of interesting knowledge. This was really fun for me. and I hope we can do this again. And hopefully we'll do it in person next time around a table with microphones instead of over the internet.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Because with any luck, we'll all find our way to some cast-off vaccines that someone didn't want.
I've been just picking up needles out of the alley and just trying them out.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see a way that would go wrong.
Is that why your eyes are dilated right now?
That's probably why I won. It's just that free association.
You are scratching yourself a lot, Max. I'm starting to...
yeah, no, I feel like I could go find some more. And just let's roll those dice.
Yeah. So thank you both again. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to this show. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. That really helps us out. You can find all of our stuff on social media. We have Instagram, we have Twitter, we have a Facebook group and a Facebook page. We also have multiple podcasts on the A Vague Idea Podcast Network, including The Hard Pick Mining Company, Funky Spunk, which is our program about Sex and the City. Rex has been a guest on there, and teaser, I will be a guest on there possibly before this episode even airs.
That's Friday, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Cool. and we also have Roll for Blank, which is a podcast all three of us appear on. It's an actual play Dungeons and Dragons podcast. I am the dungeon master and creator of the absurd homebrew story in which these two gentlemen and a cast of other characters attempt to navigate.
And it's getting so good. This is the part where Miski gets just super nihilistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Miski's having a real turn.
Nothing matters anymore.
Everything's getting sad, but it aligns with our reality. So that's good.
and Flint just got his dual plasma cannons that he stole off of a futuristic robot.
Yeah. It's so good. So yeah, so check all those things out. If you like our theme song, you should check out Michael J. O'Connor's music at michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. And, you know, otherwise, we have all had a vague idea about sports this week. And that's a good thing because the devil is in the details. Oh, bye-bye!
Au revoir.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye. Basketball.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolian, with Shannon Page, and sometimes John Peros. Information about topics often comes from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.